Well, good morning, Fox River. Whether you're a part of Fox River Waukesha, Fox River Muskego, Fox River Waterford, we know that we are one church, though in multiple locations. And if you're not a part of Fox River yet, we certainly invite you, welcome you to be a part of us. My hope today is that you are going to be challenged and get help in similar way to the way I've been challenged and gotten so much help from the truth that we're able to talk about and share today. I'm going to call your attention to the screen. How many of you know what it is that we're looking at here? Now, I know sometimes, you know, magnified pictures like a bug's eye. What exactly is that? So here's a hint. Okay, now how many know what this is? Right. I actually have in my hand right now a kernel or a seed of corn. Now, here's the question. What does this do? Yeah, not a trick question, and not what can you do with it, because there's lots of different things that you can do with it, but what does it do? If I just go outside, take it, and just stick it in the ground, what's going to happen? Yeah, it's going to grow, right? Inside, there's a latent potential. This is just waiting to be able to grow. What we want to be able to do is to take the seed truth, a little bit of pun intended, and allow that to have impact on our lives. Now, in truth, all of us have been impacted by this reality of sowing in our lives, either beneficially or detrimentally. And I talk about sowing, I'm referring to sowing with an O, not sowing with an E, not the needle and thread sowing, but actually planting or putting something into the ground that way. One of the questions that I'm hoping that we will walk out with today, that we will use this week, we'll leverage this week, different conversations as it comes up, some of the things that we begin thinking about, it's going to be this. What seed am I sowing? What seeds am I sowing in my life? Now, I didn't say am I sowing, because the truth is everybody is going to be sowing seeds of sort this week in your life. The question is, what seeds are we sowing? There's a summary of this truth found in Galatians chapter 6. I call it a summary because truth of the matter is this truth begins in Genesis, and it is a life maxim that God uses all the way through the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and all the books that are in between that way. But we get it summarized for us in Galatians chapter 6. I want to invite you, if you have a Bible, to turn there, electronic Bible, etc. If you didn't bring a Bible, if you want to grab your Pew Bible that hopefully will be somewhere nearby you, you can turn with me to page 1813. We start with these words, do not be deceived. Don't be fooled. Don't get tricked. Don't be self-deceived. Don't think that, no, this doesn't apply to me. Don't be deceived, because God can't be mocked. In other words, these are the rules, the laws of God that he's put in place, so you're not going to be the exception to it. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now here's the kernel, the seed truth for us. A man reaps what he sows. Would you say that once with me? A man, what he? One more time. A man, what he? True for all of us. So what I want to do is I want to just take us through real quickly the seven laws of sowing, seven laws of seed that God gives to us. And we're going to do this in the big picture. So it's like, here's the laws, and you can take notes if you want to. If you don't, that's okay, because I'm pretty sure that most of these, they're just sticky. And most of them are going to be, you know, sticky. They're going to just stick with you, and you're going to be able to think about them and recall them that way. But I want to do it relatively quickly and in the big picture, then to make it personal for us. What's the seed at? What's the sowing application for us individually as a church as well? So let me dive right in. The first of the seven laws is this, that seed is where new begins. We could document right now that we are where we are today because of the seed that we've sown in the past. In other words, we are reaping the fruit today of what we have sowed in the past. true, but we're not talking about the past today. We want to talk about the future. What's ahead of us? What is it that we could be proactive in, the new that's here? When we look forward to the next harvest, so the next harvest that's coming this fall is going to come from the new seed that's being put in the ground right now. The farmers either just have or are doing it even as, you know, these days are taking place around us right now. And you may have seen the farmers out in the field that way. But it's not just true of plants. It's also true of projects. The next I whatever, whatever that next I whatever is going to be, exists as a seed thought today. The next big venture capital program that's going to take place will do so with seed money that goes into it. You can think of it this way. Seed equals future. The seed that you plant today, that's how you are shaping, determining what will be in your future. Number two, nothing happens until the seed is planted. True story. Last year, I bought a bag of seed, and it didn't grow. How many think that I should go back for a refund because my seed hasn't grown? Well, if I tell you the rest of the story, it kind of goes like this. 2 weeks ago when I was cleaning my garage, I found the bag of seed that I bought last year. I forgot to plant it. Think I should take it back for a refund because it didn't grow? No. It's because I just never got it into the ground. Here's a truth Jesus expresses for us, I think you'd be very encouraged by. He said, the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is that place where what God once done is being done. Anywhere where God once being, what he once done is being done, that's where his kingdom is. We're in the midst of the kingdom of God right now, Jesus said. He said, the kingdom of God is like someone who plants seed in the ground. Day and night, whether the person is asleep or awake, the seed still grows. But the person does not know how it grows. Now, here's where I get just great encouragement from the word of God. The fact that I didn't pay attention in biology class doesn't matter. The fact that I don't understand how germination takes place and all the things that are going on within the seed before it's breaking up and breaking, I don't need to know any of that. What I do need to know is this. In order for a seed to grow, I need to plant it. In other words, I need to engage it in my life that way. One of the things that we're reminded of, it's this matter of trust. If I will plant, then I can trust that this is going to take place. Third truth, and that is that whatever I plant is what I'm going to reap. Now that sounds simple, right? What you plant, you reap. At the same time, it's profound. If I plant beans, I don't have to pray, please, 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 God, may beans come up. Right? Don't have to pray. Nobody's ever had to pray that. Because if I plant beans, what's going to come up? Rutabagas? Not going to have you. Plant beans, you're going to get beans. One of the things that all of this has in common right here is it all came from its own seed. In fact, from the beginning, God said this, that the seed will produce after its own kind. What you plant, that's what you're going to get. Doesn't matter how the package is marked, what the seed is, that what you plant, that's what you're going to get. Now, it's not just true agriculturally. This is a truth of life that God wants us to understand. Bigger life, the things that you're planting in your life. Job spoke to it this way. He said, those who plow evil, those who sow trouble, will reap it. In other words, if you plant trouble, what can you expect? Ever heard this saying before? They're just out sowing their what? Their wild oats. Now, if you plant wild oats, you go sow wild oats, what can you expect to come in your life? You are going to get the fruit of your wild oats. So if you don't want the fruit of it, don't plant that seed to start with. Now, this isn't just this isn't just a bad thing. Look at how this works for us. Hosea said it this way. He said, if you plant the good seeds of righteousness, then you know what's going to happen? You will have a harvest of love that takes place in your life. You may have heard this saying before. What goes around comes what? Yeah, say it with me. What goes around comes around. You've heard that, right? You believe that? Actually, it's just a paraphrasing of what the Bible has told us. What you plant, that's what you're going to reap. What goes around, gets planted, comes around. In other words, that's what brings forth the fruit in our lives. Whatever it is that we're planting, whether bad or good. Fourth law is that I always reap after I sow. We reap in a different season of sowing. We reap in a different season than planting. We plant in the spring, we harvest in the what? Yeah, so you get these two separate seasons that go on. Growth takes place. Fruit, production of fruit, that takes time, just as growth takes time. Now the rub here comes within us. The rub comes, I plant something, and if you're like me, I plant it on Monday, and by Thursday I'm going, what's wrong? Well, I mean, what's it? Come on. I lack something. Yeah, that's right. I lack patience, right? Yet God knew that we would need patience. One of the reasons in Galatians 6, he kind of wrapped that up. He told us the truth, but then he gave us this reminder, don't go weary in doing good, because in due time, we're going to reap. Anybody else out there could use a little more patience in your life? Yep. Anybody got all the patience that you feel you need? I mean, you're like the epitome of patience. If so, check that person for a pulse. I'm surprised they could even raise their hand, right? God knows that we need this reminder. Yes, I know you're planting the seed. Be patient, because it is going to produce fruit. God says, take it to the bank. Number five, I will always reap more than what I sow. Now, this is the good news. And this is the not so good news. Let's go back to our seed for just a second. One seed of corn. If I take this seed and I plant it in the ground, how many stalks of corn are going to come from it? Yeah, one. So one equals one. But on that stalk of corn, there are going to be some ears of corn. How many ears of corn on a stalk? Take a guess. 10. Whoa, that's really, hopeful thinking. 2. Every stalk produces 2. Now, you might go on like, only 2? That's an awfully big plant for only having 2 ears of corn on it, isn't it? Yet, if you took one of those ears, shucked it back, how many kernels, how many different seeds, kernels of corn are on a cob of corn? Anybody know? You can Google things. I mean, you could Google this right now, and if you did, here's what you'd find. One ear of corn, 800 kernels of corn per ear. But there's how many ears per stalk? 2. So there's 2. So multiply 800 by 2, and you get what? One seed will produce 1,600 times itself. We reap more than what it is that we sow in our lives. Now, whenever we're reaping, when we're sowing good, that's the good news. But remember, this law cuts both ways. If you're sowing bad, if you're sowing like seeds of gossip, say you just sow a little gossip, what can you expect to reap? You can expect to reap a lot more. I think they call the term today social media. May have experienced this. If you want more, if you want to increase your harvest, what do you need to do? If you want more of something, you want to plant more seed. Whatever it is that you want more of in your life, that's what you want to begin planting more seed of. It's interesting how God gives us an example of this in the Bible. He does something very, very tangible, something that all of us understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it starts with this, again, this life maxim goes on. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. No surprise, no shock, right? He said, and whoever sows generously, sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. Now he goes, now let me give you an example of this. Specifically, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. So he's talking about money, sowing money, giving, generosity. Each one of you should decide in your heart what you should give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. So two things you want to walk away with this. Number one, if you ever feel guilted to give, don't. Guilt is not of God. It's not how he motivates people to give in any way. If people are guilting you to give, put away your wallet, put away your checkbook there. So remember that. The other thing is this, though. God said, you get to determine how much blessing you get in your life. Don't think that you're buying it, but we're going to apply this principle here. If you give a little bit, what can you expect as a result of that? Give a little, expect how much? Expect a little blessing. Just give a little bit. You get to decide, God said. You're the one in charge of it. Give a lot, he said, what can you expect? You can expect a big blessing because you're not going to outgive me. Solomon was not only a student of science, King Solomon, wise man ever lived, but he's also a student of people. He watched people. One of the things that he noticed and he wrote down in the book of Proverbs was this. He said, one person gives freely, and yet they gain even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Now, what's he saying? Here's what he's saying. He said, I see these two people, both of them have capacity to give. You know, they have the ability. One person gives, and he gives, and he gives. So if you give a lot, what do you think you got left? A little, right? I mean, you give all the way, you don't got much left. He goes like, but that's not how it worked. He gives a lot, and it's like he's got more. Yet then you come over here to this person, also the capacity to give. He's kind of stingy, gives a little bit, but he holds more back. So if you keep more, how much do you think you're going to have? If you keep more, you got what? You think, right? You keep more, you got more. But Solomon goes like, but here's the thing. He's stingy, and he ends up in poverty. He goes, that doesn't make math sense. Give a lot away, got a lot. Keep it all, lose it. He said, here's the difference. It's the God factor that comes into it. And God said, I've chosen to use money consistently throughout time and history as a way of proving myself in people's lives. We're the ones that get to be in control. You can think of your money as this means to meet your needs, to feed your greeds, or to provide for seed for God's work and kingdom. Number six, we plant purposefully, not by our feelings. Once again, Solomon made an observation. He said, a farmer too lazy to plant in the spring ends up with nothing in the fall. Makes sense. In other words, if you wait until a farmer feels like planting, that's not going to work out well for him. And for us, if we waited for farmers to feel like planting, that would impact the food chain in a way that none of us would be happy about in our lives. You want to be purposeful in your planting. Now, again, what's that mean? This is the tough part. You know, true confession comes in. Okay, true confession. There are times that I don't feel like being nice to people. Now, collective sigh, it's okay. Right? Because you just look at me and go like, you exude niceness. I mean, that's just like, you're that kind of guy, right? I mean, like, how could you? But truthfully, there's times I just don't feel like being nice to people. But I have a choice. Plant seeds of being nice to people. Reap something later. Choose not to plant seeds of niceness. Plant something else and reap that. You know what I want to do? I want to plant purposefully in my life, even though I don't feel like it. There's times I don't feel like giving or feel like being generous. Now, you know, I do online giving, so I'm getting ready to do my online giving, and I just look at what I'm putting in there, and I'm going like, you know what? I could really use that here. Or I could use that, you know, all the things I could do with that. I mean, I'm not feeling like pushing the button. Not feeling it. But then I just think, do I want to plant seed or not? Am I going to be purposeful in this or not? And I then push the send button. Why? Because I know this truth. It's by purpose that we plant seed, not by feeling because the law is going to come. The law is true whether you feel like it being true or not. Lastly, number 7. The best time to plant is now. Ancient proverb goes like this. The best time to plant a tree is a generation ago. The second best time is now. That's true. The best time to have planted a tree would have been a long time ago because now you're able to reap the fruits of it. But if you didn't, the next best time to plant it is now. We were talking about this before. There are some things that you're reaping in your life, some of the fruit that you've got in your life right now. It's like, you know, we wish we would have planted fruit in our families, in our relationships, you know, or planted seed in all of those things way back so that we could be reaping the fruits of it. We didn't. We can't change our past. But you know what we can do right now? We can start planting now what we want to be in our future. So the bottom line, you take these 7 laws of sowing, is that we need to plant what it is that we want to reap. Would you say it just one time with me? Plant what you want to. Yeah, that's what we do. Whatever you want more of in your life, plant it now. You want good health, plant the seeds of good eating, exercise, plant the seeds for good health. Now, you don't have to understand how it works. You don't have to understand all the chemistry going on there. All you need to do is plant the seeds now. You want good finances? Plant the seeds right now. You want more love? Plant the seeds right now. You want more success? You want to plant the seeds for success right now. You want more grace? Plant those seeds right now. Whatever you want more of in your life right now, start planting the seeds. And remember, conversely, don't plant what you don't want to reap. You don't want it in your life, don't plant it. I mean, who's ever planted either a garden or flowers or any kind of garden at all? Can I see hands like that? Okay, so a lot of gardeners are in here. You've seen people that do this before. You plant good things in your garden with expectations, but sure as the world, something else gets in there too. What do we call them? Weeds. Know where weeds come from? Seeds. Weed seeds. So you get these weed seeds. And here's the thing about weeds. Which grows better in your garden? The good seed or the weed seed? Weed. That's just not right, is it? But it's a part of the curse. And so we're, you know, like, we got to deal with the weed seeds that are there. Literally, but figuratively, same thing true. You better be very, very careful of some weed seed that you let into your life. You plant the bad seed or the weed seed of impatience. You plant the weed seed of ungodliness. You let the weed seed of anger into your life, then you are going to be reaping the fruit of it later. If you don't want it in your life, don't plant it now. Don't you put the seed down for it at this point. And here's what I'm going to do to help us all. We're going to have the ushers come right now, and they are going to give everybody a bag with seed in it. So they're going to give you a container. When it comes by, I want everybody to take one of these bags of seed out there. Now, if you are a horticulturist, you'll look at this and go like, oh, this is a, you know, this is grass seed in here. So once you've gotten yours, make sure everybody gets one. You can go to work tomorrow and say, I went to church yesterday and got a little bag of grass. I'm thinking attendance is going to skyrocket next week. Colorado has nothing over on us whatsoever. When you get your bag of grass, take it, set it aside for just a second, and I'm going to tie a couple things together. I want to make some very tangible things that we can hang this truth on today. We are just launching right now, as in the construction part, our field of dreams. Our field of dreams, we've said when we started this, the purpose of this is to be able to impact thousands of children and hundreds of families. Now, a little bit more specifically, we want to reach for Jesus. Thousands of children, hundreds of unchurched families. That's at our very, very heart for what it is that we're going to be doing. Now, we'll come back to that in just a moment. Again, some of these pieces will be able to come together. I want to give us tangible things again that we can hang this truth on and keep it hanging in front of us. Jesus said, speaking to fields, he said, look around you. One of the things Jesus always said is look around you. Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking down. Look around. Just look around you. He said, here's what I want you to see. There's vast fields of human souls ripening all around us. They're ready now for reaping. In other words, God's working in people's lives all around you. I want you engaged. I want you to join him in what's going on with that. Now, if we looked around us today, you know one of the things that we would see? I don't know if this surprises anybody. I don't know if it surprises you to know that Wisconsin, our beloved state, is in the lower third of all of the United States with regards to church attendance. Does that shock you that we're in the bottom third and, you know, we compete for these bottom spots down here? Didn't shock anybody. Would it surprise you to know that 50% of the people, and around us it's a little bit greater than this, but at least 50%, that's being generous, 50% of the people around us that we rub shoulders with, that we work with in our neighborhoods, 50% don't go to church anywhere, anytime. They're completely churchless that way. More than half. Now, you know when I talk about church and churchless, our goal isn't to get a person into a church. That's not our goal. Our goal is always to help a person to find Jesus. Our goal is for a person to have the working of God in their lives that comes through Jesus that way. Our goal is so that when you're in the same position as Jane, I was talking to Jane on the way in after just before first service today, and I said, hey, Jane, how you doing? She goes, not so good. Battling cancer, you know that. You know, it's come back second time. Battling cancer, and really, I'm looking better on the outside than I'm feeling on the inside. And I'm like, that's bad. I want you to feel the love that we have for you there. She goes, thank you. But I know and I feel this working of God in me. And every time I go in for treatment, I bring that in there. And others see it and others feel it right now. I'm so thankful just for this work, for the grace of God in my life. For my family, have the grace of God in their life. That's what we want for people. Not just for times of difficulty, but for the good times too. To make the good times, times that we can really live life to the fullest as God's intended for us. That's what's in our heart for people. But if we wait, if all we do is we just sit here and we're like, hey, doors open, you guys are welcome anytime you want to come, how do you think that's going to work out for the vast fields of human souls ripening around us? Probably not that great, because they're just going to remain churchless, far from God, without that personal understanding people sowing in their lives. So one of the things we can do is we can engage. We can sow seed. We can invite people. Hey, would you join me at church? And they're like, why would I do that? And you go like, because you get grass. Right? I mean, a lot of reasons to come to church, right? And you can talk to them about, what God's done in their life. Or you can do works of kindness. You can show them. You can be hands and feet of Jesus in their life and what's going on in their life. You can talk to them. You can be a source of grace going on to them and just sowing that way. Let me ask you, how many, you're in church today, either because somebody sowed seeds, sowed grace, sowed the love of Jesus, sowed an invitation, invited you to come, but how many are here because somebody invited you or you had somebody sow seed in your life? Cast your hands, just raise them up. Reason I'm here today, somebody did this for me. Yeah. That's one way. The other way is by providing something for an individual that they want. That's what kind of take us back to the field of dreams. People are looking, if you have a child, people are looking for a quality program that will engage their child and help their child out. Now, interestingly, they're not going to bring them to church just for the sake of coming to church or Sunday school. That's low on their list. But if there's a high-quality program and sports are at the top of that list, don't judge anybody. It's just kind of like, that's kind of our day culture, just the way things are. Sports are at the top of that list. They say, like, I would definitely bring my child to church if I can get them engaged in a program of that nature. And we've seen what upward sports can do in families' lives. We've got so many families here today because they got introduced, to Jesus and the Fox River. through that. Again, the goal isn't to get a person in church. It's like to open their life up to God that way. So that's why we thought this is a project that helps us with our heart and with our vision. Now, let me try and bring these two things together. Why am I talking about the Field of Dreams, and why am I holding a bag of grass right now, right? Okay, so if you got your bag, can I see it? Just hold it up for me. Make sure you got it. Okay, good. Hopefully you haven't opened it, broke it open yet. Good, all right. You've heard of magic beans before? I mean, you've heard of magic beans? How many think I've just given you magic seed? This is not magic seed. Sorry, no. Nothing magic about this whatsoever. What I have given you, though, are seeds of purpose and seeds of action. What we want to do with this is we're going to take it home with us this week. I want you to pray over the seed, but I also want the seed to be a reminder. You're sowing. You will be reaping. What seeds you're sowing in your life? You just keep that in a place that you can see that. But I also want you to remember that by sowing seeds in other people's lives, Paul put it this way, I sowed seed, Apollos watered it, God made it grow. It's by sowing seeds in people's lives that the fruit of grace, the fruit of relationship with Jesus is going to come about. So I'm going to ask you this week, don't have to do it now, would you write the name of three of your friends, neighbor, relative, whoever, but three people that you know that you could or are desirous to sow seed in their life. Those are just people you're going to be praying for and looking for opportunity to sow seed. The other thing I want you to do, because these are not only seeds of life, but I also want these to remind you of the seeds of life change. I would like for you to write, you probably can't see what I've written here, which is probably better for me. I want you to write in there, what is one thing, the one thing right now that you're asking God to help you with, to do in your life? So two things, life change. Three friends, the one thing that you would be asking God to do for you in your life. When you do this, next week, you can bring that back, Father's Day, or if you're not here, whenever the next weekend is, we're going to have big receptacles out front for these. We're going to take these, we're going to put our seeds in there. When we've collected them, 8 weeks from now, because we feel like we're going to be done with the work out there, in 8 weeks, we're going to take all of the seed that we've collected, and we are literally going to be sowing it into the Field of Dreams. So whenever we come here, ever come on campus, if you're from another campus, whenever you're here, because this is a multi-community project that we're doing at this point, you'll be reminded that we're sowing seeds for souls. We're sowing seeds of life change. And it's our seed that's out there. I hope this becomes significant. If you were with us 10 years ago, you know what I'm going to tell you right now. If you weren't, then you don't know this. Underneath me right now, there are hundreds of rocks. On these rocks, there are names written. Three names of three friends and a big ask of God in your life. Because when we were building this auditorium, that's what we said, this is what we're going to be founded upon. And we put those here and we finished the concrete over it. So every time I'm up here, I realize I'm standing on. These are prayers for people, for friends of ours that we care about. It's for asking of God's working in our lives. And you know what we've seen in the last 10 years? In the baptisms over here, baptisms of the lake, I have people coming up and going like, they're on my rock. Yeah, they're talking about like, that's one of mine on my rock right there. I mean, places filled with them. They talked about the life change, the things that they'd ask God for, that he has done in their life, and the inspiration, the relationship with God that's deepened in their life. Now, we got hundreds here of these. We're looking for thousands. Thousands coming back. Thousands of people. These are the people's names that I want to be sowing into life. This is the asset I've got for God. That's what we're sowing in the Field of Dreams out there. It is a vision, literally, that is so much bigger than ourselves. No one person could do out there what's going to be done. But together as a church, When we individually do our part, we see things that amaze us. Now, I'd probably be negligent. Let me just mention this real quickly. We still have a little bit of money to raise, $950,000 to fully pay off phase one for Field of Dreams. If you would please pray about, consider helping us with a sacrificial gift. Sacrificial meaning, whatever sacrificial for you. To some people, literally, $25, that's a sacrifice. They're going to do without something because of that gift. Other people, your gift, you know, you can put 2, 3 zeros, 4 zeros behind whatever number that's there, and you're going like, it's not changing my lifestyle at all. I'm still going to be able to live on that way. But again, whatever God would prompt you to do to help with that visionary project that's taken place. Because we know this. We always give for the future. Put it a different way. We give for those that we don't know yet. 16 years ago, we just had this dream. Hey, let's go out and let's start this place called Fox River Christian Church. A couple handfuls of us got together and we sacrificed to be able to build phase one that was here. About 5 years later, we sacrificed again. We built this room that we're in here and some of the other spaces. You know why we did it? We didn't do it for us because we already had it. We had enough for us. We had for those that we knew that God wanted that weren't a part yet. Not a part of Fox River, not a part of the family of God yet. That's still how we give. That's still how we live and do things. You could say, Field of Dreams is going to be for my kids. And if you have kids, cool. But realize this, that project there, the vision behind that, that may be for your friend or your future friend. But you know, these are the seeds that we sow because it produces this kind of fruit. Let's go back to our bottom line. Because I don't want you leaving just thinking about the Field of Dreams and how we're going to take our seed and sow it out on the Field of Dreams. That is just an ongoing reminder of the greater truth. Here's the truth. Plant what you want to reap. That's why I want you to take this and keep it in a place that you can see it, that you're going to be reminded this week. What am I sowing? What am I planting right now, this week, in my life? What do I want? Then this is what I want to plant right now. I want you to pray over it. Because it's not what we can do, though this law, and I know the universality of it, but it's God, what with your grace can I see? Would you help me with these plantings here? Because it's that fruit that you want to be seeing in your life. Take your three. Take your big request. And then next week or next time you come, you'll be bringing that back. And then watching as we sow now, paying attention to the fruit that's going to be coming from it in the future. And I'm so glad that I can be a part of it and you can be a part of it with me. Let's pray together. We'd ask at this point, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to evaluate what seeds am I planting in my life? And you'd pull off the blinders of self-deception. Help us to see the weed seed that we're planting and stop. And then go back to the seed purposefully planting to produce more after of the same kind that we're putting down in our lives right now. We pray for your working in Fox River, whether it's the Field of Dreams, whether it's a class, whether it's Rooted, whatever it is, CR, to do things even greater than any one of us could do, but together as we've planted, that we're seeing you bringing forth wonderful, wonderful fruit. Thank you, Jesus, for your teachings that we're able to take into our lives even now and experience fresh. We pray this in your name, and everybody in agreement said, amen.